The Filipino American National News is proud to have on the show celebrity barber Ray Santos.
Appreciate it.
Welcome to the show. Yeah. Thank you for making the time.
That's right, bro. Finally made it happen.
We're out here in Mountain View, Minnesota at a local Filipino restaurant, Cucina. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to thank Kylie and Scott for having us here at the restaurant.
Definitely.
So I've heard you talk in an article about how when it comes to being a barber, that it's about a culture and a passion. When did this start? How did this start, this passion for it?
I started off in high school. My junior year of high school, I was 17 years old, and started off cutting my own hair. A lot of barbers were messing my hair up, so I had to kind of just get in the mirror and just figure it out. That's how I learned.
And you grew up in California? What part of California for our viewers that don't know?
So I was born in Los Angeles, but then I grew up in Covina, about 30, 40 minutes from the city.
And what is it like growing up Filipino in California?
I mean, man, there's a lot of us out there, bro, especially Southern California. You know, I grew up in an area where we were near, you know, we had a seafood city, so it felt like, you know, I was born in a Filipino-American household, but we had everything near us, so it felt like as Filipino as it can get, you know what I mean, with the seafood city, all the, you know, Filipino restaurants. It was good.
You talked about you started cutting your hair because you weren't necessarily liking how your hair was being cut. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that they were doing right?
I was a kid, man. I was a high school kid. I looked young. They probably thought I was younger than I was. I ain't really, you know, just in and out. It was one of those in and out barbershops. And because of that, that made me realize that, yo, I can't be looking like this. I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what my haircut's supposed to look like. So, you know, just trial and error, repetitions, cutting my own hair, and then finally getting my friends to let me cut their hair, my teammates in high school and in college, and then kind of just took off after, I would say, towards the end of my senior year, started getting really good at it.
And when did you make the decision that you officially go to, a barber school for cutting hair?
I played college, I played in high school, I played basketball in high school, I played 2 years in college. I took my clippers with me when I went to college, and then when I came back to LA, I got hurt, and I just kind of just came to me like, yo, like, do I want to keep hooping? Do I want to go play in the PBA in the Philippines, or do I want to pursue this barber career? And I would say when I was around 21, that's when I dropped out of college at 20, the 2 years of college, and then finally made a decision like, yo, this is what I want to do. And I spoke to people, they sent me the right direction for which school to go to. And yeah, so I got that done in my early 20s.
It's often joked about how Filipino parents talk about kids being doctors, kids being engineers and
stuff. That's a normal Filipino American household.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Like growing up, all my cousins, I'm on the younger side of my cousins, and all my cousins were all taught just to go to school, get a degree, and then be in the medical field. I have two cousins that are nurses, and you know, that's kind of like that's the standard, right? That's just what Filipino American parents want for us. And so all my cousins did that, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I studied, that was what I was studying my first year. I was studying kind of like in the medical field of things while I was playing basketball, but once it hit that time where I was like, yo, I gotta pick something, I was like, yo, sorry, mom. She begged me not to drop out of school, but I was like, this is what I want to do, and I see a vision, and I'm around the right people, and I can make it happen.
Once again, on the Filipino American National News, we have celebrity barber Ray Santos.
Sir.
So how did you build that clientele? Like, how was that, like, the beginning, the early years of being a barber?
It started off just, you know, well, I grew up playing basketball my whole life, so I had a lot of teammates who ended up playing at a high level. A lot of teammates that played at a high level. I didn't get there. I played at the Division II, but just being around hoops my whole life kind of kept me around the game and just around certain type of people, which eventually led to organically, you know, cutting guys in the NBA. Started off, obviously, in a small scale. I was in Vegas for the Summer League. And just kind of just putting my name out there, just literally being in the hotels, just when guys come in, if I could just get a quick, let them know, like, yo, I'm a barber out here, you know what I mean, if you need a haircut, which a lot of guys did. You know, social media wasn't cracking at the time, you know, 10 years ago. So, well, at least Instagram, you know, trying to find barbers wasn't as easy. So, me putting myself out there kind of was a big, that played a big role in kind of building my clientele that I have today. And, you know, you do good work, you work with one good client, and then you kind of just organically start, everything just starts, you know, trickling. You start cutting their teammates and stuff like that. So that's kind of like, that's how I started cutting hair with the NBA guys.
And how is that different from just cutting the average Joe off the street to NBA players?
I mean, at the end of the day, you servicing the client, you want to do your best work. You love the craft. Well, I love the craft of doing hair. So for me, it was just another hair, just another head that I'm cutting, just different hairstyle, different person. But I try to treat all my clients the same when I'm working, you know, give you my best work. And then, so I guess it doesn't really change. It's more just obviously who you're working with. Now there's more opportunity that can come with it. And yeah, that's kind of like how I see it.
I mean, not only being a barber and doing, from what I can tell, a great job cutting people's hair, is like you also provide an ear to whoever you cut. What are some important things that, say, a person that wants to become a barber should know about the overall thing about landscape of being a barber?
From my experience, you don't need to be the best. You need to be good enough. You need to be, you know, but to be the best at, you know, there's so many talented people out there, you know what I mean? So I'm always striving to do the best work that I can do. But I think a big part of growing in this industry is being a good person. Whether that means just being able to just listen to the clients. Obviously you want to give them your best work, but being a good person to them, listening to them, you know, because everybody having different days. Some, you might get clients that might want to talk about their day, whether it's good or bad, you know. So just being a vet, like just being there and just being a good person, I feel like goes a lot farther than being the best, you know what I mean? Obviously, like I said, always try to do the best work you can, but just being a good person, just being kind and just, you know, pushing that needle, I think is very important.
You talked about how it's a word of mouth industry, and at least for yourself in regards to that. You must have a crazy schedule in terms of you're here in Minnesota, you're from Los Angeles. How do you find the time to make yourself available for these clients?
I have, well, the guys that I work with in Minnesota, we kind of like verbally, we don't have anything, but anyway, we have a situation where I see them every 2 weeks. I see the guys maybe like 2 or 3 times a month, whether I see them on the road, but they're my priority, you know what I mean? Like, we have a thing going on, but I have a pretty private schedule. I don't have my books open to the public for, you know, a variety of reasons. I need to be available for the guys who, you know, we have some going on, but I'm here and I'm flying back home tonight. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm available. I come in, do my job, come right back to LA. I'm available for my LA clients the rest of the week.
And because of your clients out here, you have a couple of Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards, I think, is the person I first saw your name attached on the Instagram post. And I reached out to you. What's the most amount of clients if you've dealt with in like one day?
For me, it's not even, I mean, I feel like I'm past doing stacking my days. I did that, you know, starting off trying to grind, but once you build like a clientele where you know, especially when you're mobile with them, you know, you're charging a higher rate. It's not all about the quantity. For me, it's about, you know, just seeing my clients, you know what I mean? And but yeah, I'm not I used to do the days where we do like 10, 12 heads a day, but kind of past that now. But blessed to say that, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. Nothing wrong with it, you know what I mean? You got to start somewhere, but definitely at a place where it's just less clients and, you know, charging a higher rate to be able to not have to cut so much. You know what I mean?
With the clients that you do deal with, overall in general, is there a particular style of hair that you see that the guys like their haircut?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of the guys that, you know, want to get their haircut by me definitely want to have a nice crispy lineup. tapers, fades, all that. You know what I mean? That's my bread and butter. That's what I'm good at. So, you know what I mean? I stick to it and just try to do my best work.
So as a barber, like, if I walked in here, right, and not knowing that you're a barber, could you tell, like, hey, maybe this is what would work for somebody?
Yeah, man. Hair's been my life, bro. So when I look at someone, the first thing I'm noticing is just the hair, whether it's a good or a bad haircut, and obviously, you know, if it's a client that I'm about to do for the first time, I'm always looking at the hair, like, how do I envision it? How do I envision their hair to give them their best look mixed with how they like doing their hair, how they like their hair done, you know what I mean? So it's always something I can't really stop seeing or, you know, visualizing. It's just secondhand nature to me.
Like for myself, I've been going to the same barbershop since I was 12 years old. And right. Now there's a new owner, and sometimes he cuts my hair. I'm still trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Out with him. That sense of loyalty that you have to your clients, I'm sure that they really appreciate, like you said, keeping your schedule open and being able to, I mean, cut their hair.
Right.
You spoke about how you played ball. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the history about you playing ball?
Yeah, I mean, I started maybe in around the fourth or fifth grade. I kind of was just naturally decent at it. I guess that was the only sport I really played, and so I kind of just stuck with it. Played AAU ball, played with and against some really good players in Southern California. Played in high school. That's when things got kind of serious. I was like, oh, I'm kind of good at it. I could probably get a college scholarship. And then maybe play in the PBA. And so that was kind of like where I was. Played 2 years in college with the idea of playing in the PBA. And then that's kind of like where I mentioned earlier, that's kind of where I stopped. I got hurt one summer and was just, that was it. So I'm up until college, that's when I stopped. But it's really dope to be around the game still, working with a lot of the NBA guys. It's honestly a blessing because, you know, basketball is the sport of the Philippines, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's been a popular sport for us Filipinos, and just being around the game and being around these high-level players, it's truly a blessing.
You spoke about family. Not only were you a Hooper, but from what I know about you, your brother is also involved in basketball on a high level, too.
Yeah, he hooped in high school. Had a lot of injuries, didn't really get to play in college, but he's coaching at Long Beach State, so that's pretty cool watching him. Our whole family just around the game still, which is super cool.
You recently went back to the Philippines after a long time being away from the Philippines. What was that experience like for you, right?
Life-changing. I went a year and a half ago for the first time in 25 years. So, I didn't really remember much when I was a kid, let alone not meeting all my family. That's all, you know, that's my whole dad's side's out there. But it was life-changing. I want to go back every year. I felt grounded. I felt cultured. I felt inspired and really just proud to just be a Filipino-American. And, like I said, I want to go back every year if I can.
And before we let you go, we're here at a Filipino restaurant.
Right.
Is there a particular Filipino dish you generally like to eat or cook?
Favorite? I actually haven't learned how to cook Filipino food yet. But my favorite dish of all time is sinigang. Sinigang is my favorite dish. Yeah.
Pork or beef sinigang or shrimp?
Salmon.
Salmon? Oh, salmon.
My mom and my dad make the best salmon sinigang. And it's 95 degrees in LA, but I just got back from Paris 2 days ago, and 95 degrees, it don't matter. I'll eat a bowl of sinigang.
You said Filipinos love hoops. So
love hoops.
Filipinos kind of like a triple threat when it comes to entertainment. Are you more of a singer or a dancer?
Man, I'm very, very, very not happy to say that I'm neither a singer or a dancer. My talent stays on the basketball court. But most Filipinos can sing and dance. Unfortunately, not me.
Where do you think, with you being a celebrity barber, where do you think some of the coolest places, travel-wise, that you've been able to go to because of your profession?
Oh, man. Just recently, actually, last year, last season, when I started really locking in with the guys, for the T-Wolves. It was super sick when they had me fly out to the Bay. I mean, I've been to the Bay before, but I was able to stay for the game. Game one or game three, I forget. It was it was a playoff game at Golden State. I got to stay for that. And then the next round, they flew me into, was it OKC? I believe it was OKC. Western Conference Finals, man. I've never experienced basketball at a high level like that in that environment. So that was probably the most, that's probably the sickest experience I've had, just going out there, cutting my clients, and then being able to stay for the, I want to say it was game one of the Western Conference Finals. That was a super sick experience. You know, I never thought I would have been in Oklahoma City, you know what I mean? So my Clippers took me there. And it was a great experience. Got to enjoy, you know, Western Conference basketball hoops.
I think one of the cool things I've learned about the whole, in terms of basketball, is just how small the world is. It's just,
right.
We know potentially mutual people. Maybe I might not know them really well, but
right. We know
just how everyone's sure. connected. So how is that seeing Filipinos on different levels when you
man,
go to these different
so
areas?
Cool, man. It's so cool, you know. Outside of just meeting a Filipino and went in an area where there might not be a lot of Filipinos, it's cool, man. Like, you know, you show love. It's especially when you're proud to, you know, represent the culture. But then meeting people who work around basketball, specifically, and are Filipino or Filipino American, it's a cool thing, man. It's special. Like I mentioned, it's basketball is the sport of the Philippines, really. So just having that same passion for the game, or the same, you know, whatever, as, you know, peers that you meet, it's cool. It's special for sure. And you always feel that connection. Not just being Filipino, but being Filipino-American working around the sport. It's cool.
And for our listeners and our viewers that will see this on social media, where can they find you on socials?
My Instagram tag is Ray Santos, and I'll be on TikTok soon. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'll be on TikTok soon. But for now, just Instagram, Ray Santos.
All right. Thank you for taking the time on your busy schedule to join us here on the Filipino American Nationals. Hopefully, we'll have you on the future, and maybe one of these days you'll fix up the lineup over here
head. No, we'll get you right sometime.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And once again, that was our interview with celebrity barber Ray Santos. To give you an example of how chaotic his schedule can be, this interview, after talking with Ray and corresponding with him via messaging, was supposed to take place sometime this past week, this past Friday. And I was just trying to do my due diligence with Ray the week before, seeing when he might potentially be in. And ironically, he was in town to cut his Minnesota Timberwolves clients, those clients being Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, and Jaden McDaniels. And he happened to be in town the previous Friday, It was Friday or Thursday. And in the span of a couple hours, we figured it out. We met at Casina in Mounds View, Minnesota. So thank you to Hyleen and Scott, the owners of Casina in Mounds View, for hosting us there while we conducted the interview and had some of the cuisine there that they have in Casina. And we conducted that interview right before he had to leave. We did this around about 2:33 o'clock, and he had a flight at 6 and hopped on got back to the airport at 5-ish. And ironically, he was back in town this past week. So as he said in the interview, he's got to have that open schedule for these clients that he has. So thank you, Ray Santos, for making some time for us here at the Philippine American National News. And hopefully in the near future, we will have you back on the show. But for right now, we're going to play a song from an artist originally from the Twin Cities. This is when he was in the group The Odd Jobs, that is multi-time guest of the show, Nomi. And this was their classic hit, Blue Collar Holler, with his former sing group, The Odd Jobs.
Or a teacher, or an electrician, a runner, or a fighter, or a politician. We just a crew, we doing our job, and that's an odd job. I'm not a preacher, or a teacher, or an electrician, a writer, or a fighter, or a politician. We just a crew, we doing our job, and that's an odd job.
I said the first time I saw Mike, and his attitude, they had to use the jaws of life to get it back to you. They never got me off the flight, and the altitude can't top the heights that I'm taking you tonight, right? Ladies in the place on the pavement chase, I'm a joke, it's wild, and you the ace of spades. Trump card, leaving lords, flicking the wrist. Check this, I'm a union activist.
I was talking to my main man, Crescent Moon, about how you got the stage presence of a tennis shoe. Ain't that right, Crescent Moon?
Hell yes, it's true. I put that on my mama and the rest of the crew.
Young and impressionable, that's how we came in the game. Went from playing with fire to making it rain. Taking our aim, danger is too close to the top.
Anticipation of the groove makes me go rah.
If this beat is buff, or you're wrong with a boom box, boom, paracanis, will I take with a group top? Bob your head, shake your hips. Sugar in the Kool-Aid type of mix. This ain't a power trip, it's a spaceship. Where the beat's very beautiful like Arabic. What you scared of, kid? What you scared to live? I live by the pen and the way it's written.
I'm not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a writer or a fighter or a politician. We just a crew, we doing our job, and that's an odd job. I'm not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a writer or a fighter or a politician. We just a crew, we doing our job, and that's an odd job.
And now I'll pass it off to anyone who wanna pick it up. It's like I never give it up. Y'all are sitting ducks. Every night we X off a day on the calendar. More time wasted looking forward to challenger.
Man, I get mad like CJ Mack when the MC's dope, but the beat straight whack. Or when the beat is fat, but the rapper don't rhyme right. It's like Mack and underage Jersey trash and limelight.
A complicated alien, making us look simple. I bite your whole style and spit it out the window. One more thing before me and my crew go. What you want in a crew zone? I ain't talking about food though. I'm not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a writer or a fighter or a politician. I'm no me, steady doing my job, and that's an odd job. I'm not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a writer or a fighter or a politician. I'm Crest Moon, steady doing my job, that's an odd job.
I'm not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a writer or a fighter or a politician. I'm an advisor and I'm doing my job, that's an odd job.
That's an odd job. What? Yeah. That's an odd job. Hey. One more time now. Odd job. Give it to me. Odd job. We'll be doing odd job. That'll be CMI, family, Twin Cities, everywhere. How you doing? Odd job. Keep it moving now. Is this an odd job?
And once again, that is The Odd Jobs with their song Blue Collar Holler. You are listening to the Filipino American National News, which is heard every Sunday here on KFAI from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, online at KFAI.org, and by searching the Filipino American National News. And we can also be found on the KFAI app on both the Google Play and the Apple Store. Next week on the Filipino American National News, we'll have another guest talking to a young man, a Phil Canadian out of Winnipeg, who's following his basketball journey here in the Twin Cities, playing for a very prominent AAU program and a very prominent basketball power here in the Twin Cities, talking about his journey here to the States to play ball. We're going to talk to a young man by the name of Elias Brana on the show next week, talking to him about his journey, along with his father, giving his insight on supporting his son on figuring out what he wants to do with the little orange ball, what we call a basketball. But for right now, we're going to head over to the last song of the evening. It's from the legend Jocelyn Riquez. It's the track, Do You Miss Me? And the show, the interview that you just heard with Ray Santos will be archived up to 2 weeks online via the KFEI website and on the KFEI app. But you can also catch the video form of the interview with Ray Santos on our Facebook as well. Stay tuned for Sound Effects.
Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, or online at kfai.org. Well, so am I.
Me too.
This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. With your host, Jerry Stearns.